certainly want to wish Mike and Alan a very, very enjoyable experience and the time away that they have from here that they can spend together and do those things that they do as a couple, because they're a prime example of a great couple and good people. I want to draw your attention again to this sign. It has me completely mesmerized because in the definition of faith, many times we give lip service to faith in its complex nature, but it is so plain here. And if we really take a minute to look at it, faith is not believing God can do something. Faith is knowing that he will do something. And there's such a major difference between thinking that he can and that he will. But that's one of the things that I really have a fond affection for that. My message today, my lesson today is going to be on our affirmations. Positive affirmations have a popular way to boost self-esteem or feeling better about ourselves. But what does the Bible have to say about affirmations? And today what I'd like to do is to look at scripturally affirmations. How does God see affirmations? How does he is it recorded in scripture? Scripture reminds us of the power of words and the importance of speaking truth. It's a reminder, speaking truth. But it also emphasizes that true transformation comes from God's word. True transformation comes from God's word. Let's look at what the Bible says about affirmations. And I'll give some examples as we progress through the message this morning. Examples of affirmations and their positive nature. And sometimes affirmations in their negative natures. But when we look at what the Bible says about it, the power of our words and how aligning our thoughts with Scripture can bring lasting change and encouragement. When we align our words with Scripture, it can bring about positive changes in our lives, in the way we view the world. So what does the Bible say about affirmation? Psalms 139 and 14 reads like this. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. This verse reminds us that we're fearfully and wonderfully made by God. We're fearfully and wonderfully made by God. Sometimes we need to stop and think of just who we are as people, who we are as Christians, and to think the influence that God has over our lives. And I'll delve more into it as we move through the lesson this morning. Our existence is not a result of chance or accident, but a deliberate creation by a loving and intentional creator, God himself. Knowing and embracing this truth can affirm our sense of self-worth and value. Understanding that we're children of God, and as children of God, it should affirm or magnify our sense of self-worth and value. Many times we do many things to try to make ourselves feel better about ourselves. What better way to feel about yourself to know that you were created by God himself? That is the greatest compliment that you can pay yourself. Knowing and embracing this truth can affirm our sense of self-worth and value. Something my grandfather told me, he's preaching in Forest City, Arkansas. If anybody's in Arkansas, anywhere near Arkansas, Forest City, Arkansas, where I spent much of my youth there. And one of the things he used to say is, God didn't make no junk. If God made you, you have value. God don't make no junk. I've lived with that continuously as a bellwether for me and all the people I come in contact with. Every living soul God made has value because God don't make no junk. I vote to my grandfather. Reflecting on the intricacy and beauty of God's works can also help us to appreciate the unique gifts and abilities that he's bestowed upon each and every one of us. God has gifted each and every one of us with gifts that have value. We can find comfort and confidence in recognizing that we're cherished by our Heavenly Father, cherished by God, even when we feel as though things are going south on us and life is not treating us the way we think it should. Remember that you will always have one that loves you, God himself. So we'll always have love. Jeremiah 29:11 reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And all of that scripturally backed. This verse assures us that God has a purpose and a plan for our lives. So it's not random. We're not random people just randomly soaking around. God has a plan for each and every one of our lives. Now, sometimes we're able to recognize that plan and follow through on it. Other times we ignore it. But God has a plan for us. It gives us confidence in the midst of uncertainty, knowing that our future is in his hands. It affirms that God desires to bless us and bring about our prosperity, not to harm us, to protect us, to guide us, to love us, to give us those things that makes us whole and healthy and contributors to the rest of the world. When we feel discouraged or unsure of our path, we can find assurance in God's promise to give us hope and direction. And as you read scripture, you will see God guides us in that direction of giving us hope and giving us direction. This affirmation allows us to trust in his timing and provision, knowing that he will lead us into a brighter and fulfilling future. Proverbs 18:21 reads this way, "The tongue has the power of life and death." Our tongue has the power of life and death. And those who love it will eat its fruit. This verse emphasizes the power of our words to shape our reality. It reminds us that our speech has the potential to either be life-affirming or life-destroying. What we say has value. Whether it's positive or negative, it has an impact. And it becomes extremely important that we mind our words to make sure they are in accordance with God's will. Our words to our family, our words to strangers, our words to people we come in contact with. By choosing to speak words of affirmation and encouragement, we can cultivate an environment of positivity and nourishment. Conversely, speaking words of negativity and criticism can have detrimental effects and does have detrimental effects. This verse urges us to use our words wisely, recognizing their impact on ourselves and those that are around us. What we say has power, whether positive or negative. What we say has power. And we need to make sure that we're mindful of the fact that when we say things to people, we're reflecting God to those people. And we can bring people into the fold as Christians, or we can drive them away, in many times us as Christians. And it becomes our responsibility to add rather than to deduct or subtract. By speaking words of life, we can experience the fruit of love and build up those that are in our midst. By just speaking words of life, words of hope, words of positivity. Psalm 118:24 reads this way, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." This verse encourages us to approach each day with a mindset of gratitude and joy. Can you imagine each day you approach that day of one of gratitude, thankful to God that all he's provided, thankful for family, thank you for friends, thankful for employment, thankful for many things that we enjoy, and shove aside to, in many instances, complain. It affirms that every day is a gift from God, and we should celebrate it with gladness. Every day is a gift. And it's incumbent upon us to recognize that as a gift, and the gift giver, the Lord himself. And we should be responsive in that vein. By focusing on the blessings and opportunities that are present in our lives, we can cultivate a positive outlook on life itself. Many of us as Christians, and in many instances, have a negative outlook on life. And it astounds me, especially in my work with the counseling, it astounds me in many instances how many people have been so blessed and God has cared for so readily, and they themselves are bitter and in many instances, really feel as though they're being put upon when asked to do something to help someone else. That is a duty of a Christian, to do what we can for anyone we can, when we can. By focusing on the blessing and opportunities of the present moment, we can cultivate a positive outlook on life for ourselves and for other people. We can become lanterns for people in the dark. They see us and see, there goes a Christian. That, I want some of that. I want to be part of that, as opposed to the opposite. Even in the face of challenges or hardships, this verse reminds us to find reasons to rejoice. There's always a reason to rejoice. One, you're breathing. There's a reason to rejoice. You have life at your disposal. There's a reason to rejoice. It affirms that God's goodness and faithfulness are not dependent on our circumstances and are constant sources of joy and strength. God's goodness and faithfulness, a constant source of joy and faith. Isaiah 41:10 reads, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." What a confirmation from God himself, which means we are never apart from God unless we choose to be, unless we choose to separate ourselves from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, unless we separate ourselves. God is a constant companion and continuously loves us regardless. In moments of fear and discouragement, this verse serves as a powerful affirmation of God's presence and support. It reassures us that we do not need to be afraid because Almighty God is with us. When you think about that for a moment, what is there to be afraid of when you know Almighty God is with you? His strength and help are readily available to us. It's just a matter of calling on him. Knowing that we are upheld by God's righteous right hand can instill confidence and courage in us when faced with difficult situations, to understand that I am a child of God. And as a child of God, God loves me and he will do what's necessary for me to move forward. And it's incumbent upon me to do what I can to show my gratitude by telling other people, by sharing it with other people. It affirms that we're not alone in our struggles. Many times we believe that whatever we're going through at the time, we're the only ones that's ever been faced with this issue. All of us have issues. Everybody has a problem. Everybody has something that annoys them. Everybody has something that's not comfortable to them. It's understanding that that is part of life, and understanding that as part of life, what we use that to build ourselves, our character. Use it to build ourselves and our faith. Use those opportunities and see them as opportunities, those things that are not befalling you the way you want it to happen. It affirms that we're not alone in our struggles and that we can rely on God's unfailing love and protection. Psalm 46:5 reads, "God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her break up the day. This verse affirms that God is with us, ensuring our stability and our strength. It reassures us that God's presence will not be easily shaken or overwhelmed by life's challenges. Like all of life is a challenge. And that is just the adult view of life. All of life is a challenge. Good challenge, bad challenge, but all of life is a challenge. When we face difficulties, we can draw strength and comfort from this affirmation in understanding that all life's a challenge. It's not you being picked on. It's not you being singled out. Everyone has challenges. Everyone has an opportunity to grow from their challenge. It's a matter of how you receive those challenges and how you view those challenges and how you use those challenges to build your character, build your strength, build your communications with other people. Use the challenges to your benefit. It reminds us that God is our ever-present help, ready to assist us in times of need. With his support, we can face each new day with confidence and assurance. And you know that God is a constant companion. And it's a matter of no more than calling on him when we run into difficult situations. Ask for guidance. Stop. As we used to say in the Marine Corps, reconnoiter. Stop. See where you are and then move yourself in the right direction and use it that direction is following the word of God. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. And let me repeat that one more time. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. If we inculcate that into our being, into our fiber, into our thinking, into our actions, think how much more satisfied we would be as a people. Many times we, and especially in counseling, see people come through who are at some point misunderstanding what life is about. And maybe sometimes we just need to understand what life is about. Really, life is about helping one another. When you boil it, when you synthesize it down to its basic component, is helping one another. This verse is a powerful affirmation of God's enabling power in our lives. It assures us that we're not limited by our abilities or circumstances, but can accomplish all things through Christ who empowers us. We can accomplish all things through Christ who empowers us. When faced with challenges or doubts, this verse can serve as a reminder of our potential and capability in Christ. It affirms that we are not alone in our endeavors, as God provides the strength we need to overcome obstacles and achieve our goals. He's an ever-present companion when we call on him. Romans 8:37 says, no, in all things we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. In all things we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. This verse confirms and affirms our victory through Christ's love. It reminds us that we are not merely survivors, but conquerors in every situation and circumstance. Something one of my grandfather used to say, reverting back to sitting on a front porch in Forest City, Arkansas. Y'all never know where that is. The way you see a thing is the way you see a thing. And I've lived with that for all these years, because what he was really teaching me sitting on that porch, on that front porch, is that I'm in control, as we're in control, how we view any situation and how we respond. So his message to me when I was 12, 15 years old, the way you see a thing is the way you see a thing. If you see it as a catastrophe that's going to destroy you, guess what? It will become a catastrophe that will destroy you. If you see it as an opportunity to grow from, to adapt to, or do whatever is necessary to survive from, you will become a survivor. And as a survivor, you will become better able to help other people and yourself. Knowing that we're more than conquerors can help us to face challenges with confidence and resilience. It affirms that we're empowered by God's love, which enables us to overcome obstacles and emerge victorious in every aspect of our lives. In every aspect of our lives. When there are critical issues that happen, things that are destructive in terms of our lives, we still can learn and grow from those things. Psalm 34:5 reads, those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. When we look to the Lord, we understand then that who is actually in charge. Many times we have the mistaken notion that we're in charge, when in fact we're in charge of ourselves and no one else. This verse affirms the transformation that occurs when we turn our gaze toward God. And knowing that God is an all-loving God, and knowing that God is there to love us and to teach us. And in many times, the lessons we learn from God, or whoever God has assigned to work with us. It assures us that those who seek him will radiate with his goodness and love, and will never be overwhelmed by shame or disgrace. When we find ourselves burdened by guilt or a sense of unworthiness, this verse can help and serve as an affirmation of God's grace and forgiveness. It reminds us that in our presence, shame has no power over us, and we can shine with radiance of his love. Psalm 23:1 said, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. This verse affirms God's role as our provider and our caretaker. It assures us that we are entrust our lives to his guidance, and we will lack nothing that is truly essential. This affirmation can bring comfort in times of need, assuring us that God will take care of our physical, emotional, and spiritual needs. Let me repeat that. God will take care of what our needs are. It affirms that we can place our trust in him, knowing that he will lead us to abundance and provide for us in every season of life. Matthew 6:26 reads, look at the birds in the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And if your heavenly Father feeds them, your heavenly Father will feed you. Are you not much more valuable than they? This verse affirms our worth and our value in the sight of God. It reminds us that if he cares even for the smallest creatures, how much more does he care for us? In moments of doubt or insecurity, this affirmation can bring reassurance and peace. It reminds us that we are precious in God's eyes. Precious in God's eyes, and that he will provide for our needs. We can rest in the knowledge that our value is not based on our own accomplishments or possessions or who we are or where we are, but on God's unconditional love for us. God's unconditional love for us. Psalm 37:4 says, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Take delight in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. By take delight, that means be at peace with the Lord. Take delight in the Lord. Be at peace with the Lord. And when you're at peace with the Lord, in most instances, you're at peace with yourself. And many times, the problems that we come in contact with, and especially in the counseling world, is people creating problems for themselves, by themselves, for no reason. Psalm 37:4 again says, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. This verse affirms the relationship between our delight in God and the fulfillment of our desires. It reminds us that when we prioritize our relationship with God, he will align our hearts with his will and grant us the desires that align with his plans for our lives. This affirmation encourages us to seek joy, satisfaction in our connections with God, rather than the fulfillment of our own selfish desires. It also assures us that we can delight in Him. He will bring about the blessings and fulfillment beyond that we can imagine. And my time is running short, so let me just conclude here beyond with something I wanted to share with you. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Be mindful of that. God is our refuge, a place for us to draw to. And He's our strength and ever-present help in times of trouble. This verse affirms that God is our safe haven and source of strength in times of trouble. It reminds us that we can turn to Him for comfort, protection, and assistance. When faced with the challenges and overwhelming circumstances, this affirmation can offer solace and encouragement. It assures us that we have a reliable and unchanging refuge in God, who is always with us and ready to help. And on that note, my time is running, but what I wanted to do is thank you all very much for your kind attention. And I pray that you will take the time and the effort to submit issues to God without trying to resolve them all by yourself. Submit situations to God for counsel. Submit through prayer. To think through things so that it does not become a weight on you to the point where it becomes psychologically disadvantaged to you. Because one of the things that God wants is for you to be healthy. Whole and healthy, physically, mentally, psychologically. And in that desire, we can always go to Him when we're confronted with issues and situations that seem beyond our capacity. Take it to the Lord in prayer and leave it there. Leave it in prayer and be guided by the circumstances that develops. Respond appropriately. In that, what happens is we save ourselves, and in saving ourselves from psychological harm, in saving ourselves, we save others. And in saving others, we please God. So with that, on that note, I will conclude, but I want you to be mindful that His word, we will gain clarity, discernment, and understanding His will for our lives through His word. Read your Bible. Study your Bible. Talk to others about scripture. Talk to others about situations. And the worst thing we can do is closure. Having difficult times ourselves mentally or psychologically, and bring it inside of ourselves to destroy ourselves. Use that opportunity to share. Lighten the load. So many times the people with psychological counseling, it's carrying the load all on their own. Share the load. When you share the load, what happens is you minimize the danger. You minimize the danger, and you minimize the psychological harm we cause to one another. And seek God's guidance in hard situations, in situations where you're not sure. Talk it over with a God-fearing person. Talk it over with someone else that also understands the role God plays in their lives. Talk the situation over rather than taking it all in, because we have a limited capacity to handle disappointments. A limited capacity to handle those things that are destructive in us, in our personality, and destructive in our physical health. So share. Share those with others. Believe that you can trust other people, because guess what? Every living soul has problems. So, you know, many times we're reticent about bringing the issues to other people because, well, I don't want people to really know that I'm having a problem. Wait a minute, that person has problems too. And what may very easily happen is we can psychologically help ourselves by talking to each other. Well, I don't want people to be knowing my business. Your business is destroying you. So to talk to someone that you can find, that you can have confidence in, that they will be there with you. So that will conclude my presentation for the day. But again, who do we have doing the closing prayer? I guess I am. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, we humbly approach your throne of grace and say thank you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the many blessings you've bestowed upon us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for all the good that you've done for us and all the things that we can do for you in your name. Heavenly Father, we just look for opportunities and we seek opportunities, Heavenly Father, to spread your word, to tell others of you and how you have helped us. And we, Heavenly Father, in turn can help others. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're dismissed, folks.